We're doing our best to keep you informed on the current financial status of issues, etc. We have 4 weeks left in 2012, and we're $50,000 short of making budget this year. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can make an online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues, etc. Send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
The angel Gabriel from heaven came, with wings as swift as snow, with eyes as flame. All hail to thee, O lowly maiden Mary, most highly favored lady.
Laudamus of Concordia Seminary with the first stanza of the Advent hymn, The Angel Gabriel. Well, it's a remarkable story, isn't it, that we find this young maiden, this virgin, and visited by the same angel that had come only months before to visit Zechariah in the temple. It's not the temple this time. And that's kind of remarkable. And yet, what is going to happen with this young woman, she is going to become, her womb is going to become a temple. And the announcement from the angel is that the Lord himself is going to enter that temple and for a time reside there, and she is going to be the mother of her Savior, the mother of God. It's usually called the Annunciation. It's the birth of Jesus foretold, and we'll talk about that. And Mary's response, she has several responses. It's a question. She conceives, may it be unto me according to your word. That's a great Lutheran answer to a question. And then she sings a song, all there in Luke chapter 1. Pastor Tom Baker joins us as we teach this Sunday school lesson, The Birth of Jesus Foretold. Tom is Director of Development for the Concordia Mission Society and host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Lay out the contrast for us, if you would, Tom, because last time when we talked about the birth of John the Baptist foretold, it was Zechariah in the temple, John's father, and the same angel, Gabriel, gives him a promise of a miraculous birth, and he doesn't believe it. You said it's remarkable. He doubts it and doesn't believe it, but not so with Mary.
Well, when you first read the text, it sounds like both of them doubt it. In verse 18, Zechariah says, "How shall I know this, for I am an old man?" And in verse 34, Mary says to the angel, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" The result is Zechariah goes mute and Mary gets blessed. And it seems like, didn't the angel hear Mary's complaint? So how do we resolve this apparent difference in reaction on the part of the angel? Well, we can't resolve it unless Scripture resolves it. And Scripture resolves it, because in chapter 1, verse 20, the angel says to Zechariah, "You're going to be mute because you did not believe my words." But when you look at Luke 1:38, Mary says, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it to me according to thy word." Now, I want to say a couple of things about this. This shows her faith. She refers to herself as a handmaid, which in reality is a female slave. She's willing to be a slave for God. The King James says, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, let it be unto me according to thy word." The NIV says, "May your word to me be fulfilled." But I think who gets it best is Luther in the German. I'll say it and then translate it. Maria aber sprach, therefore, but Maria spoke, Zia, behold, ich bin dies heim magd, I am the Lord's female slave. Mir geschehe, to me let it happen. Now the next is really good. Wie du gesagt hast, as you have said. And we get back to what we were saying last week about the difference between when God makes a promise, it's going to happen. And if the angel says it to Zechariah and he doesn't believe it, he goes mute. But Mary believes it And that's the difference. And it's Scripture interpreting Scripture, even though they both seem to be giving excuses of unbelief, Mary's is still one of faith.
Could you also talk about how, at least in the conventional translation, may it be unto me according to your word? And it's there also, as you have spoken, that it's, and this sounds like a very, and it should be a very Lutheran way of thinking about these things, because it's always the emphasis is on the external word. Mary trusts the promise. She trusts the word, not over against her virginity, over against her astonishment, all of those things.
Well, Mary may have been a pretty good student of the Old Testament, remembering the same God who just said she's going to be pregnant without a regular human being to do that, is the same God who led the people through the Red Sea, who brought manna down, who got them into the land of Canaan, destroyed Jericho, made the kingdom, and now the fulfillment of the promise is coming. There's no doubt the Holy Spirit is working upon Mary so that she might believe these words, in contrast to her experience, which seems this has never happened before. It reminds me of John 9, where Jesus heals a man who's not just blind, but been born blind. And it says, not since history has anyone seen who was born blind. Well, here we have someone who is going to get pregnant while she's still a virgin.
Now, let's back up to verse 26, where we kind of begin the story. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And this seems to be a connection to a promise, to the promise that God had made to David. What was that?
Well, the promise to David is that through his seed would come the Messiah. And Jesus even has an argument at one time with the Pharisees where they get confused because they can't understand how David can call him Lord. But he's calling him Lord because he is God incarnate. There's something else that's happening here. Is the promise of God is going to be fulfilled, but once more, God is a God of irony. Just like, who would ever expect God to be sending the good news of his birth to unclean shepherds or despised Gentiles? This same God has the man Joseph living in Nazareth. Nazareth was insignificant. In fact, it never is mentioned in the Old Testament. Bethlehem is, but not Nazareth. And in fact, people from Nazareth were considered despised, which fits perfectly with Psalm 22, "But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people." And also Isaiah 53, verse 3, "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief." So if you were going to decide, where should I have the mother of my Savior come, Nazareth would be the least likely place to come from. And that's important for the Sunday school children. They ought not look at their heritage to see their worth, because God can make one worthy regardless of one's past.
What do you make of the greeting, which is the first thing that Mary hears that astonishes her and causes her to wonder, when the angel says, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you."
You know, that's the theme I have. Mary is favored. She is not the favorite. And what I mean by that is when she is said favored, it's not because of her lifestyle or that she was sinless or anything like that, like some would say. No, in fact, the first time this is found in the Bible is Genesis chapter 6. When the Lord sees the wickedness of man on the earth and he's ready to destroy it, but verse 8 of Genesis 6, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." That's the New King James. But you know what the ESV, NIV, and NAS say? "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." And it is the same for the kids in the Sunday school. They need to look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 to 6, as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, and verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. And guess what that word is? It's the same word used for Mary. You have found favor with God. Not because you're his favorite, because you're so good, but it's a word of grace. Undeserved merit came to Mary as it also comes to us. And she herself is really aware that she also needs a Savior, which we'll get a little further on when we look at the Magnificat.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's Director of Development for the Concordia Mission Society and host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. On this Wednesday afternoon, December the 5th, we are teaching a Sunday school lesson, The Birth of Jesus Foretold in Luke chapter 1. With only about a minute here before we take our break, Tom, what would you say of those words, the Lord is with you? Is he, I mean, that sounds like just kind of a, oh, God be with you kind of a thing. Is there more to it than that? With about a minute before our break.
It's not only more to it, but we're going to see, and that's another theme I'd like to talk about, is like Mary, we have Christ in us. And we'll explain later on how that has occurred. Even though we're not pregnant with Jesus, Jesus is within us also. And that's when we get to the application for the children.
Our call in number 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. It's Wednesday afternoon, December the 5th, studying a Sunday school lesson from Luke chapter 1, Jesus' birth foretold by the angel Gabriel to Mary. 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email with questions or comments for Tom Baker. talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at @issuesetc. When we come back, she does ask that question, how will this be since I am a virgin? That's the real obstacle. Why is it important that the church maintain that this young woman is in fact a virgin, and yet, within moments of the angel speaking to her, is pregnant with our Savior? We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The Gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the Gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Does a Christian have a different reason for voting than a non-Christian? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Vote for the Other Guy. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The latest journal also details E.D. Wadsworth's journey from evangelical mysticism to the present tense gospel of the Reformation. Subscribe to the online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Which comic hero is pro-life?
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
The answer is Batman, or rather Christian Bale, the actor who has portrayed Batman in recent movies. Bale is an opponent of forced abortions in China, In 2011, he attempted to meet Chen Guangcheng, the blind Chinese pro-life activist, but was prevented from doing so by Chinese guards. However, Chen was able to escape to the United States, and in October, Christian Bale finally met him. In doing so, Bale presented him with a Human Rights Award. Bale called forced abortion in China a true horror, and called Chen a hero and an inspiration.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.
For know, O blessed Mother, thou shalt be all generations, Lord, and honor thee. Thy Son shall be Emmanuel, by Spirit's foretold, most highly favored lady.
Laudamus of Concordia Seminary with the second stanza of the Advent hymn, The Angel Gabriel. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We are talking about the very text, the Sunday school lesson that hymn is based upon, Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26 and following, the birth of Jesus foretold. Tom, the angel will describe to Mary what this child will be like, and here are the words. He says, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David." There's David again. "And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." What is the angel saying?
This is a continuation of the gospel that's found throughout the Old Testament, the first time appearing in Genesis 3:15, where the Messiah will come and crush the head of Satan, but also be wounded in the process, referring, of course, to his death on the cross and then his resurrection. So this is a fulfillment of promises made to Adam and Eve, to Abraham, to David, to Solomon, to the prophets, all pointing forward to the Christ who will come, as John the Baptizer said, to take away the sins of the world.
She recognizes that the thing standing in the way, humanly speaking, is the fact that she's never known a man. She's a virgin.
Yes.
How important, Tom, is it that we absolutely maintain, at the pain of death, that she is a virgin when she conceives?
It's about as absolutely certain as if we would say Jesus, when he was in that boat and there was a big storm, he drowned, and that's how he died, which would contradict Psalm 22, which says he was pierced in hands and feet. The reason Mary has to be a virgin is Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign." This is Isaiah. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, the word for virgin in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew, is Parthenos, which is exactly the same word that Luke uses by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So, for those who say she really wasn't a virgin, it was Joseph who got her pregnant, would therefore destroy the idea that God makes a promise and then fulfills it, and all of Scripture would fall apart.
So her virginity is maintained by the church, not because we want to maintain that Mary's some sort of hyper-virtuous young woman, but it's for the sake of teaching rightly about who Christ is.
Yes, and once you start worrying about that Jesus himself couldn't be sinless if he came from a sinful woman, then you have to make up a teaching that at her conception, Mary became sinless. The Immaculate Conception of the Virgin Mary doesn't refer to Jesus being conceived, but Mary being conceived sinless, which I've never figured that one out, because that seems to be a greater miracle than Jesus' birth. Well, what's the big deal if Mary is sinless and the Holy Spirit is sinless that Jesus is? We ought to make statues bigger for Mary than for Jesus if it's her birth, that's a sinless one, which, of course, is the way it is in Mexico.
Verse 35, the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Is there any doubt that he is emphasizing the fact that this is God's son that is going to be born of this human woman?
No, again, and the reason I say that is because Scripture interprets Scripture. Would you like to hear the verse in the Old Testament where this same thing occurs? It's Exodus 40, verse 35. "And Moses was not able to enter the tent of the meeting because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord," and here comes the same word as overshadow, "filled the tabernacle." You have the glory of God in the tabernacle. Remember, anybody who went in there would be zapped with glory fire, except the high priest only on the Day of Atonement. What Jesus did in filling the tabernacle, God now does as Jesus fills the womb of Mary. And it's the same word used for the Holy of Holies and for Jesus being conceived in the Virgin Mary.
So is it right to say that during this time, at this time now, the angel has announced that the Lord, Jesus himself, has entered the temple of Mary's womb?
Except for one thing, it's a future tense in verse 35. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. But immediately, Mary goes to see Elizabeth. So she's there about 2 days later, and Elizabeth jumps for joy, well, she does too because of John the Baptizer jumping for joy, and refers to her as the mother of our Lord. So the pregnancy took place very, very soon after the angel said these words.
Now let's come back to the name Jesus. He says you will call his name Jesus. We've seen that name before, haven't we?
It is Yeshua. And what I really like about this is Jesus is often referred to in his triumphant state as prophet, priest, and king. And we also know he was prophet, priest, and king here on earth with his disciples. He was prophet, and he foretold God's word. He was priest in that he prayed for them and sacrificed himself. And he was king because he held the whole world in his hands. But in the Old Testament, there was also prophet, priest, and king, and guess what their names were? Their names were Jesus. The prophet was Hosea. Chapter 1, verse 1, "The word of the Lord that came to Hosea," and that's the root word for Yeshua. The priest is found in Zechariah 3:8. His name is Joshua, the high priest. "You and your companions who sit before you, behold, I am bringing forth my servant, the branch." He was the priest. And the king or ruler over the people of Israel occurs in Deuteronomy 34, verse 9. "Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom." And we need to understand that both all three, the prophet, priest, and king, their name, their root name is the same name as Jesus, which means he will save.
A little bit farther in the text where she is told by Gabriel that Elizabeth, as you just mentioned, has already conceived and is going to bear a son, already 6 months along, we're told. And then Mary says, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." You have dealt with those. She goes, as you just indicated, to the hill country, it says, with haste, so she does it quickly, and she meets there Elizabeth. Now, she is greeted by Elizabeth with these words that seem to echo the angel's words, verse 42. "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, and why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of the greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what is spoken to her from the Lord." There's a lot there, Tom. Take it apart.
The first thing is, this is our evidence that it happened very quickly, because she already says, blessed not will be the fruit of your womb, blessed is the fruit of your womb. And we know it occurred immediately because in verse 56, Mary remained with her about 3 months, where she was then given birth to John the Baptizer, who was already 6 months in the womb. The other thing is, this is really very, very helpful for infant baptism. Because many people who don't do infant baptism cannot believe that an infant can believe. Well, here is not just an infant, a fetus, a human being already within the womb only at 6 months, and he is jumping for joy when he hears that Jesus has entered the room. And Jesus would be less than a tenth of a centimeter long in size, assuming we have a 9-month pregnancy that Mary would have. I mean, he would just be a speck under the microscope. And yet, John the Baptizer leaps for joy. And how can he do that? Because the promise was given to Zacharias. Remember, he didn't believe it, that from before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And guess what happens to an infant in baptism? Acts chapter 2. Peter says in the sermon that when you're baptized, you receive two gifts, the gift of the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the promises to you and to your children. So it is so obvious that God is one author of the entire scripture, fitting everything together, and Mary, through faith, now understands that she is going to be the fulfillment of the promises.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We'll take a break, and we'll have another 10 minutes with him on this Wednesday afternoon, December the 5th. This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Feel free to give us a call with questions or comments for Pastor Baker, 1-877-623-MYIE. Talkback at issuesetc.org is our in-studio email address and our Twitter address at issuesetc. Looking at Luke chapter 1, we're in the latter part of that. We are going to talk about Mary's song that she sings after she's been greeted by Elizabeth and what it says, not so much of Mary, even though it is her song, what it says of her child and her Savior. We'll be right back. We're doing our best to keep you informed on the current financial status of Issues Etc. We have 4 weeks left in 2012, and we're $50,000 short of making budget this year. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can make an online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. Send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church, Albany, Oregon, is a mid-Willamette Valley LCMS congregation where the liturgy lives and God's people worship as one, with sound biblical doctrine, weekly communion, and a clear confession of Christ crucified for the sin of the world. Please join us at 2515 Queen Avenue Southeast or visit our website at www.holycrosslutheranalbany.org.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Augsburg Lutheran, Shawnee, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California. Trinity Lutheran, Casper, Wyoming. Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas. Trinity Lutheran, Gillette, Wyoming. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa. Redeemer Lutheran, Kakabeka Falls, Ontario, Canada. St. Jacoby Lutheran, Shawano, Wisconsin. And St. John's Lutheran, North Prairie, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Then gentle Mary meekly bowed her.
Concordia Seminary's Laudamus with the third stanza of the Advent hymn, The Angel Gabriel. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're talking about the birth of Jesus foretold, teaching a Sunday school lesson. Speaking of Sunday school lessons, the best preparation is to sit down, as we do here with Pastor Baker, every week. And teaching the young is not something that should be shaken out of one's sleeve. It should be done with great preparation. One of the reasons that Pastor Baker is our guest for these segments is that during his days as a parish pastor, he carefully prepared in person his Sunday school teachers to sit down with the children. And that's what we hope we can recreate here during these conversations with him every week. And helping us do this is a great guide, not only Pastor Baker's expertise, but also the Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House that offers these kinds of insights, even if you don't have a Pastor Baker to prepare you every week. It's called Growing in Christ. Now, you can get a free sample of Growing in Christ from Concordia Publishing House. Give them a call, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for Growing in Christ. They'll send you a free sample. Or you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Tom, let's talk a little bit about the song that Mary sings. It's not part of the Sunday school lesson proper, but it certainly fits within everything we've discussed so far in the story of the Annunciation of Jesus' birth.
Yes. The first thing I would want to make is a lot of people say we know that Mary recognized that she was being favored. She wasn't the favorite one because she was a sinner. And they point to verse 47, "And my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior." Now, I'm not disagreeing with that, but I think there's something else that she says right after it that even shows it more so. She says, "For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant." And when you take a look at that word, you know what it means? It is referring to her spiritual abasement, which leads one to perceive and lament one's moral littleness and one's guilt. So by her referring to herself in that way, it's kind of like what we do a lot of times when we walk into a church service in preparation for the Lord's Supper. We say, "I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all the sins and iniquities with which I've ever offended thee." This is what Mary does in verse 48. So I would point to both 47 and 48 and indicate to the children that they too can rejoice, not just because they recognize their sinfulness, but because God is their Savior. You have 2 points in the Magnificat that indicate that.
Now, she speaks of this not only in terms of what the Lord has done for me. He is mighty and has done great things for me. Holy is his name.
Right.
But she seems to realize that this is about... this is much bigger than just her being privileged to carry the Savior in her womb. This is about God saving the entire world.
That's verse 50. His mercy, and you know what mercy is? I always like talking about justice would be getting what you deserve. You want that? Go to every other religion in the world. But mercy is not getting what you deserve, and grace is being given what you don't deserve. So he's merciful on those who fear him from generation to generation. And the word fear there is well known for Lutherans, since it begins almost every meaning of the commandments in Luther's Small Catechism. We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. It means a God-fearing understanding that we are terrified that God could easily send us to hell, but out of his mercy, he does for us what he does to Mary. He finds favor in us. Why? I have no idea.
What is this? He has shown the strength of his arm, and then it's a series of things that God has done. Scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts, brought down the mighty from their thrones, exalted those of humble estate, filled the hungry with good things, yet the rich he has sent away empty.
We could point to the Old Testament where each one of those things has happened, not only in the Egyptians when they were brought down, right, with the Red Sea, but even with his own people when they fell away from him and went after other idols. But finally, verse 54, he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And the remembrance means not that he remembered, oh yeah, I told you I'd be merciful. It means that he's going to fulfill his promise as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever.
So how would you, in a nutshell, talk about the application that this story, this remarkable familiar story, has for the children in the Sunday school class?
Because Mary conceived and Jesus was born, believe it or not, we also have Jesus in us. And this is where, at our Sunday school, we all not only celebrated the birthdays, but also the rebirthdays. And I would point to something like Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, we're not pregnant with Jesus, but Jesus is within us. Isaiah speaks about we're wearing his robe of righteousness so that when we appear before God, he recognizes us as righteous. And so the Sunday school children need to also, the goal I would have would be for them to be rejoicing that, yes, they see their sin, their low estate, but because of what Jesus did with Mary, he also now does with them. And it doesn't matter if they were born in Nazareth or born in New York City, God can really make something of their life and their vocation for him.
There's also a couple of things I wanted to discuss kind of to tack on here at the end. One is that Mary appears prominently in the church's creed, and even the song of hers and elsewhere is found in the church's liturgy. Talk about that, Tom.
Yes. In our new hymnal, Lutheran Service Book, it's found on page 231 as part of the Vespers service. So for those who are going to Lent tonight, we would often do Vespers. It's the Magnificat, and it's even entitled the Song of Mary. So it's put to music, and it has, of course, the wonderful good news that we just expressed.
There's something, one other note here, it's not in the text itself, but I think it's Matthew's gospel that tells the same story in a different way. And it has Joseph, who's mentioned at the end of this account in Luke, when he hears about all of this.
Yeah.
And the word gets to his ears, says he's a righteous guy and he wants to do what's right. He wants to put her away secretly. Why did you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I tell you, Nazareth was not a big town. Everybody knew what was going on. And remember, Mary was gone for 3 months. So when she came back, she was showing. So what does it mean to be put away secretly? Well, they were betrothed, which is tantamount to marriage in those days, and it normally lasted 1 year to make sure the fiancé was not already pregnant. To put her away publicly meant that he would publicly accuse her of adultery, and he even had the right to stone her. But to put her away secretly meant he would refuse to marry her, but not accuse her of adultery, and therefore take the blame on himself. That's how much Joseph loved Mary, that he did it, what they refer to as secretly, by taking the blame on himself, and therefore he would be the problem in the village, not her. And that's what Jesus really does for us. He takes upon himself the punishment and blame that you and I deserve. And that's really what happened on the cross when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? My Bible has an answer to that, because you're carrying the sins of Tom Baker on your shoulder. I turn my back on you. But on the day of resurrection, what rejoicing takes place, because Jesus has fulfilled all the promises of the Old Testament, and therefore those who trust in him are fully saved.
Pastor Tom Baker is Director of Development for the Concordia Mission Society, and he's host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Next week we'll talk with Tom about the birth of John the Baptist when it actually happens. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series on the historic liturgy. This will be part 18, I believe. We'll be talking with Pastor Will Whedon about the Sanctus, that thrice holy, 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 that also has some Advent language in there, too. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That'll be tomorrow on Issues, etc. Also tomorrow, we'll discuss 4th century Bishop of Milan, St. Ambrose. He's a big one. Pastor Heath Curtis will be our guest. Folks, Issues, etc. is listener-supported. That means you listen and you support us. We're currently $50,000 short of making this year's budget. We've got less than a month to go before the year comes to an end. Now, if you've enjoyed listening to Issues, etc. this year, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible contribution to support this worldwide outreach. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also make a financial gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues, etc. Send it to Issues, Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Here's the address again. Issues, Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Now, for any sized year-end donation, we will send you the CD Lutheran Service Book, Hymns and Services, and a CD with two of my sermons on it, one of Christmas and the other of the Confession of St. Peter. Thanks for listening, and as always, thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year. She hears this word from the Lord via the angel Gabriel, and by sheer gift of grace, she believes it. She receives what the Lord gives, and by receiving this, she receives into the world, in his human flesh, his divine nature, the Savior of all mankind, the crucified and risen Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Seek out that clear teaching. That's why Issues, Etc. is so great.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk, host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting, on the value of Issues, Etc.
I can't speak highly enough of the times in my life, previous to seminary especially, where it was my lifeline. It was giving me the food that I needed, the clear thinking Christianity, to be able to know what I believed and why I believed it.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. Issues, Etc. issuesetc.org.
Thanks for supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. through the charitable grant program Thrive and Choice. We received more than $15,000 last year through Thrive and Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrive and Choice. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page at issuesetc.org. Please support Issues, Etc. in 2012 with Thrivent Choice.